This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Today I begin my 8-part sermon series on the book of Philippians, written by the Apostle Paul. Now the theme for my 8-part sermon series is, to live is Christ. These words were written by the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, which reads, "For to me, to live is Christ." Now, of course, what does Paul mean? Well, simply put, Paul is stressing that when God saves you, when you are brought to faith in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, your whole life is then defined by your relationship with Jesus. Now, we will learn what this means for our lives today as we examine the book of Philippians together during these next 8 sermons. Now, today's sermon is based on the first 11 verses of Philippians chapter 1, and the title I've chosen for today's sermon is, God Isn't Finished With You Yet. Now, I got the idea for that title from the following words of Philippians 1 verse 6, which reads, "He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." Now, even though Paul wrote those words to the Christians who lived in Philippi almost 2,000 years ago, these words also apply to you today. So with that understood, let's examine our text. Paul begins the book of Philippians with these words, "Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, once again, even though these words were written to the Christians in Philippi, these words are also meant for you. How so? Well, first, Paul was chosen by the risen Jesus himself to be an apostle, and Jesus used his apostles to lay down the foundation of his teaching for Christians of all places and all times. For example, in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus tells his apostles to teach each other all that he commanded. Also, in the book of Jude, we read that the faith was once for all entrusted to the saints, referring to the teaching of Jesus handed on by the apostles. Finally, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul writes, "What I am writing to you is the Lord's command." Therefore, when you and I read the book of Philippians, we are actually reading the teaching of Jesus given to us through the Apostle Paul. Next, Paul says, "To all the saints in Christ Jesus." Did you hear that? Paul called you a saint. Now, of course, some of you might say, "Wait a minute, Pastor. I'm anything but a saint. I mean, I've done some horrible things, and I continue to struggle with sin every day. Paul must be talking about someone else." No, he's not. Paul is talking about you. You see, being a saint does not depend on being less sinful or more holy than most people. Instead, according to Scripture, being a saint before God means that your sins are forgiven by the blood of Jesus and that you have been clothed with Jesus' own holiness. Simply put, those who trust in Jesus are saints before God, even though we continue to struggle with sin every day. With that understood, Paul then says that he wants us to have the grace and peace that come only from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how are we to understand this blessing? Well, that word grace means the unconditional love that God has for us even though we don't deserve it. We see this grace expressed most fully when the Father sent his Son to the cross to be damned in our place. Because of Jesus' sacrifice for us, we can now have peace with God because we know that our sins are forgiven and we are holy in God's sight. We have grace and peace for this reason. Now, in verses 3 through 6, Paul goes on to thank God for all the times that the Philippian Christians supported Paul in his work as an apostle of Jesus Christ. Not only did they send mission offerings to Paul to support his ministry, but even more, they sent one of their own members, a man named Epaphroditus, who brought various necessary supplies to Paul and then stayed close by him after Paul was put under house arrest in Rome. Of course, you may be wondering, why was Paul arrested? Well, Paul was arrested because he had been preaching the good news about Jesus. And some unbelievers who didn't like what Paul was saying, well, they used that as an opportunity to get Paul into trouble with Rome. In fact, Paul's letter to the Philippians was written while he was in prison in Rome. However, in the midst of this scary situation, Paul takes time to remember the Philippians in prayer and even write them a letter with the following theme, "To live is Christ." And these words that Paul wrote while under arrest are also meant for you. That's why Paul says, "He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." So then, how do these words apply to you? Well, first, you need to know that Jesus began a good work in you when he saved you from a life of sin and unbelief and brought you to faith in himself as your Lord and Savior. You see, the ultimate good work that God begins in us is faith. When the Holy Spirit works through God's Word to give us new hearts that trust in Jesus, my friends, that is nothing short of a miracle. If you have faith in Jesus, then give God all the glory, because that is his good work in you. However, as today's sermon title says, God isn't finished with you yet. You see, when God begins his good work of faith in you, the result is that you begin to live for Christ in all that you think and do and say. My friends, God has plans to continue to work in you and through you to do wonderful things. As Paul writes later in Philippians chapter 2, he says, "It is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose." So then, what do I mean exactly when I say that God isn't finished with you yet? Well, simply put, even though you are totally and completely a saint through faith in Jesus, the fact is your sinful nature still remains, and that means you must fight with sin every day. But the faith that God gives you, that moves you to live for Christ. And you live for Christ as you daily fight against the desires of your sinful nature and daily strive to live according to God's will for your life. However, the only way that God can continue to do this work in you is through his word. That is why it is so important for us to remember our baptism. That is why we must hear and read God's word on a regular basis. That is why we need to spend time in prayer, saying back to God what he has said to us. And that is why we should receive the Lord's Supper often. These are all the ways that God continues his good work in you. With that in mind, Paul then goes on to say the following in today's reading. "This is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best, and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God." Now allow me to explain what these words mean for you. First of all, Paul says that he wants your love to abound more and more. He's talking about your love for God and your love for others. But the only way this can happen is if you are focused on God's love for you. You see, as the Spirit moves us to keep our focus on the love that God expressed for us in the cross of Christ, we will thereby be moved to love God and others. However, please note I said that God wants us to love people. That doesn't mean we will necessarily like them. But God helps us overcome our petty attitudes. He helps us overcome our harshly critical opinions of people. He helps us overcome these things so that we can learn to love others as Christ has loved us. That means loving people even when they haven't been all that nice to us. But when we focus on the love of Christ, that's what God helps us to do. Secondly, Paul also says that our love should abound in knowledge and depth of insight. Simply put, when Paul talks about love, he doesn't mean merely some warm, fuzzy emotion connected with a mind that is clueless about the will of God. No. Instead, by love, Paul means the desire to live for Christ. And we do that by believing what God wants us to believe and by living in the way that God wants us to live. So, for example, how should we love people? I mean, can we simply treat them any way we want and then call that love? No, of course not. You see, God calls us to love people by doing the good things for them that God wants us to do, and by refraining from the evil things that God doesn't want us to do to them. So, ask yourself these questions. Do you want to be a loving husband or wife? Do you want to be a loving parent or child? Do you want to know how you should love your friends? Do you want to know how you should love even your enemies? Well then, meditate on God's word and thereby receive knowledge and depth of insight so that you may be able to discern what is best and also put to death petty, selfish attitudes that keep us from loving others as God wants us to. Next, Paul says that God wants you to be pure and blameless. Now, understand this. You are already pure and blameless before God through faith in Christ. However, God also wants your faith in Christ to affect how you live before others. You see, Paul is saying that God wants you to be pure and blameless in your relationships with other people. Now, obviously, if this is true, then we sinners all have a lot of work to do in that area, don't we? But the good news is this. God isn't finished with you yet. You see, the same God who began a good work in you when he brought you to faith in Jesus, this same God will continue to work in you and he will complete his work in you. As you keep your focus on Christ and his love for you, as you receive nurture from his word so that your love may abound with knowledge and depth of insight, my friends, you will thereby be filled with what Paul calls the fruit of righteousness. Now, what is this fruit of righteousness? Well, first of all, by righteousness, Paul means the salvation that God has given us in Christ. Therefore, the fruit of righteousness are the good works, the good things that flow from this righteous salvation that God has given us. Simply put, Jesus' love and forgiveness will move you to say no to sin and yes to all the loving things that God has planned for your life. This reminds me of what Jesus himself says in John chapter 15. Listen to these words. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do what I command. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. So ends the words of our Lord. Now please understand, Jesus isn't saying that if you trust in him, you're going to live a perfect life. You won't. What Jesus is talking about here is that those who are connected to him, who believe in him, will bear fruit. That is, the fruit of daily repentance and faith. Daily saying no to sin and trusting in Christ's forgiveness. And then, by faith in Jesus, being moved to turn your life around and striving to live in the way that God wants you to live. So, as you leave this place today, I want you to remember these two truths. First, God began a good work in you when he chose you to be his own and brought you to faith in Jesus as your Savior. Second, God isn't finished with you yet. God has a wonderful plan for you. He wants you to mature and grow in your faith. And as you continue to be nurtured by his word, your love will abound in knowledge and depth of insight. In fact, the really good news is that God will do all this in you. As Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, "May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Amen."